Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
This is Legal Nurse Podcast 273, called Trouble Ahead for Legal Nurse Consultants. Debbie Johnson's story of being taken in by a man she never met reminds me of the many ways that people commit fraud. If you have not listened to Legal Nurse Podcast 272, you must do so. This is Pat Iyer with Iyer's Insights. In this podcast, I cover two ways you as a legal nurse consultant could get into trouble. Let's start with romance scams, which is what Debbie described. It's also called catfishing. Your knowledge of how to spot this kind of scam could potentially save you or somebody else heartache. Romance fraud often takes place with online dating websites, but the initial contact could occur through social media, email, or phone calls. The characteristics of this type of scam include these points. Number one, the scammer will express strong emotions for you in a short period of time. One guy who contacted me through Facebook sent me a message that my smile melted his heart like a Snickers bar in his pocket on a warm summer's day. Yuck. Point two, the scammer often claims to be from another country or working overseas, and that's why he or she can't meet you. Point three, the scammer asks you to continue to communicate through email and chat and takes you off social media to continue the contact. Four, you begin to trust the person. You start receiving requests for gifts of money, credit card details, bank accounts, and so on. Point five, the scammer may tell you that he or she needs the money for an emergency, such as a family member who needs medical treatment, or because the scammer lost a wallet or credit cards. Point six, you might be asked to take some intimate photos or videos of yourself. This is great for blackmailing later on. Point seven, another common request is to ask you to buy electronics like a computer or a phone and send the item to the person. You might be asked to receive money and send it elsewhere. These activities facilitate the crimes of the individual. If you don't agree to send money or gifts, the scammer escalates the demands. Here's how you can protect yourself. First, refuse to accept Facebook friend requests from people you don't know, particularly people of the opposite sex. I turn down all male requests on Facebook, unless I know the person. Point two, never send money to someone you have not met in person. Even that is not a guarantee the request is legitimate. Point three, do an image search of your admirer. Ask to chat via face-to-face means and make a comparison. Point four, always consider the possibility that somebody is seeing you as a big fat paycheck and trying to scam you no matter how ardent he or she seems. Point five, be alert to grammar and spelling mistakes in emails, which could indicate somebody is operating from a low level of literacy. Point six, look for inconsistencies in their stories. Point seven, don't send intimate pictures or videos to anyone. How many people can you think of who've gotten in trouble for doing just that, even with people they're dating? Point eight, don't give money, bank account information, credit card numbers, online account details, or copies of important documents to people you don't know or trust. 9, don't travel overseas to meet someone you've never met. Your safety is at risk. 10, do not agree to transfer money to someone. This is a criminal offense of money laundering when you're doing it on behalf of another person. Point 11, be very careful about how much personal information you share with others, especially on social media sites. Identity theft occurs this way. If you have been scammed, don't count on getting any of your money back. If the scammer is not in your country, your law enforcement authorities don't have any jurisdiction. Point 2, report the scamming to the website, social media site, or app through which the scammer first approached you. Let them know the identity of the scammer, and they may be able to stop others from being victimized. And point 3, if you've provided credit card or bank details to the scammer, report this to the financial institutions involved. Learn more about catfishing by looking into the podcast called Dirty John, which is a nickname for a nurse who scammed a woman named Deborah Newell. Let me ask you another question. Are you on top of all the intricacies of running a legal nurse consulting business? There is so much to keep track of, and it's easy to put your head down, work on cases, and postpone the business management and development activities that will sustain you. In fact, the twin evils of perfectionism and procrastination will prevent you from being fully effective and lead to sleepless nights. You can easily reach a stressed out state as a business owner. In my book, How to Manage Your Legal Nurse Consulting Business, Top Tips for Success, I share tips for effectively and efficiently running your legal nurse consulting business. These are the tips I learned from running a multi-million dollar independent legal nurse consulting business. This book is part of a series designed to give you the essential knowledge you need to grow your business. Don't learn things the hard way. Make a small investment with me and a big investment for yourself. Order my book, How to Manage Your LNC Business, at the show notes for this podcast. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount. Now I want to move to the second way legal nurse consultants get in trouble, and this is admittedly a far more common issue than catfishing. Attorney ethical violations have been on my mind as I read about the parents who lied and cheated and bribed their children's way into admission to college. There were 50 parents, including two prominent movie stars, Felicia Huffman and Lori Loughlin, and an attorney in the initial roundup. There was a lot of attention paid to Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin and their scams. Attorney Gordon Kaplan, I find very interesting. He's a Greenwich, Connecticut resident and now a former co-chairman of the global law firm of Wilkie, Farr and Gallagher LLP. He was placed on leave by the firm a day after he was among 50 people who were indicted by federal prosecutors in a massive college admission scam. According to the government, Kaplan paid a crooked college admissions consultant $75,000 to ensure his daughter would get a higher score on the ACT, which is a standardized test some colleges use to rate students who are seeking admission. The money was wired into a bank account controlled by the FBI, unbeknownst to the parents. Kaplan's challenge now is staying out of prison. It seems unlikely he will get to practice law again. Attorney ethical violations usually don't grab this kind of attention paid to the fraudulent actions of these parents. They're of a more common variety. But do you know how you as a legal nurse consultant can get caught up in an allegation with an attorney client? First, some groundwork. According to Megan Zavich, these are the three most common attorney ethical violations. First, Rule 1.1 of the American Bar Association Model Rules is competence. And it states, a lawyer shall provide competent representation to a client. Competent representation requires the legal knowledge, skill, thoroughness, and preparation reasonably necessary for the representation. The attorney must know the area of law and be prepared for conferences and court and depositions. Have you seen the movie My Cousin Vinny? In this movie, the New York lawyer flies to Alabama to defend his cousin and friend who are accused of murder. Vinny has never tried a criminal case before. He has little understanding of court procedure. Yes, it's Hollywood, and it's a very entertaining movie, and it clearly illustrates his incompetence. How can you get caught up in this attorney ethical violation? Here's how. The attorney is suing a doctor and asks you to find a nursing expert witness to testify against the physician. You're inexperienced. You don't realize the error in this approach. At the attorney's request, you find a nurse. The court disallows the nurse, and the attorney runs out of time to find another expert. The client sues the attorney for legal malpractice, so the attorney may bring you into the case as a defendant, pointing to your selection of a nurse expert. Second issue. Rule 1.3 is called diligence. An attorney shall act with reasonable diligence and promptness in representing a client. The attorney needs to meet all the deadlines associated with the case. Judges impose deadlines for discovery to end, and part of that is supplying reports or opinions of experts. How can you get caught up in this? You're an expert witness who missed a deadline to complete a report. The attorney misses the deadline to supply your report. The court disallows your involvement as an expert. The client sues the attorney. You get brought in as a defendant. Another scenario, one of my clients missed a statute of limitations for filing a case. He contacted me after the deadline asking for a screen for merit. He said, I don't think there's anything here, but the client wants to know. I'm not sure if he knew he missed the deadline. Our physician screener found merit, and I kept notes of the conversation. When the plaintiff sued the attorney for missing the deadline, I was called in to give a deposition. Unfortunately, I had to read my notes into the record. The attorney ultimately settled the case. Rule 3. The third situation is Rule 1.7, called Conflict of Interest, Current Clients. And there are two points with this. And it says that except as paragraph B above, a lawyer shall not represent a client if the representation involves a concurrent conflict of interest. The attorney may not represent a party who is adverse to the attorney's current clients. What sometimes happens is that the attorney takes on a case with a conflict of interest and doesn't know it. How can you get caught up in this? This ethics violation is directly related to the attorney's practice, but you can run into a conflict of interest in your own LNC practice. This can occur, for example, when you take on a case as an expert witness or a non-testifying consultant that involves your employer or a facility within that healthcare system. You might also be asked to review a case that includes somebody that you know well. That could be a friend. It could be your personal physician. And you could have a conflict if you are asked to review a case and you've already worked on the case for the other side. Avoid this scenario by checking your database before discussing a case with an attorney. Attorneys expect you to be able to do this in seconds. I'll share with you what happened to me. I unknowingly got into a conflict of interest. My LNC business helped a plaintiff attorney who was representing a woman who delivered a baby. We logged the case in under the mother's name. We found a nursing expert who declared there were multiple deviations from the standard of care. The case involved a ruptured uterus with devastating brain damage to the child. A year later, the defense attorney contacted us about the case and used the baby's name, which was decidedly very different from the mother's name. It was a different last name and it was a different ethnicity. We searched for a nursing expert to review the case. When the first expert could not defend the case, the attorney asked for another, and then another. Three experts could not defend the nurses. Something triggered us to realize the mother and child were related. Horror struck, I called both attorneys, I explained what happened, and I apologized. I was deeply embarrassed. The attorneys were gracious. As a result of this incident, I instituted an immediate practice of logging both the mother and baby's names on our case files for all labor and delivery cases. My advice to you is have your own professional liability insurance. I've used Nursing Service Organization, the legal nurse consultant policy, for several years. They have a self-employed part-time rate, which is affordable, also a full-time rate, and they offer an expert witness rider that is applicable for people who testify. Make sure if you supply expert witnesses that they understand the critical importance of not missing deadlines for filing reports. Know when to say no to an attorney who's asking you to do something wrong. There's a lot at stake and you've got to take the high road. Be sure to order a copy of my book, How to Manage Your LNC Business, using the button on the show notes for this podcast. You'll find these in iTunes or at podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. And one final thing, the LNC Academy is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a sturdy foundation for your LNC practice. Are you interested in exploring the idea of coaching? Contact me to request a call. Go to http://lnc.tips/get help. Get help is one word. That link again is http://lnc.tips/get help. And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on legalnursebusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at legalnursebusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month Clubs, my membership site, lnceu.com, gives you two online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lnceu.com. And my last website, thelnceacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lnceacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.